Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 and then 13 through 25. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I have warned you before: those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. It's the word of God for the people of God. Let us rejoice in it and understand it this day. Well, today we hear the story of Elijah and his understudy, Elisha. So you have Elijah and Elisha. I'll try to keep them straight. And our reading, of course, comes from the second book of Kings. And like many of the stories that we read in the Bible, it's a story that has many themes. You may have picked up on some of those as Shirley was reading it. There's loyalty to another person, faithfulness and trust in God. There's a theme of power and recognizing the source of that power. And then there's transition, successfully negotiating a time of change. And just as a reminder that while we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that same Spirit was very much a part of the lives of God's people in the Old Testament. And certainly Elisha recognized that, for when he was asked what it was he wanted, out of all that he might have requested, he asked specifically for a double portion of the Spirit that had guided Elijah. Well, people in that time, hearing and reading these words, would have immediately associated this double portion with the practice of inheritance. You see, in biblical times, the wealth of a family passed down to the eldest son, and he was given a double portion. The remainder of the inheritance went to the other children to be divided among them. But there was always a portion, a double portion of that wealth that maintained with the oldest son and carried on the family. In this story, the other symbol of inheritance is the prophetic power and spirit that was in a mantle. Now, what's a mantle? A mantle in the ancient world was basically a piece of cloth, kind of like a cloak or a poncho. Elijah's mantle was first mentioned in the reading from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, which was also our Old Testament reading last week. After Elijah had fled and gone into hiding for 40 days in the wilderness, he climbed to the top of Mount Horeb. Do you remember this story from last week? This was symbolic in and of itself, because Mount Horeb was the same mountain where God had handed down the Ten Commandments to Moses. And while he was there, Elijah had been hiding in a cave, and the Lord God spoke to him, not in the whirlwind, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, but what? In a still, small voice. If you look back at that story, You'll notice that the moment Elijah heard the voice of the Lord speaking, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he stepped out of the cave in order to stand before the presence of God. And the Lord God told Elijah that there were going to be some changes. Elijah's first job after leaving that mountain was facilitating this change and bringing Elisha on board to be his student and to anoint him as a prophet as well. So from this time forward, everywhere that Elijah went, Elisha followed him. Kind of like my dog following me everywhere I go in the house. Well, the mantle is also symbolic in that it represented being covered by the Spirit of God. Now, we know about mantles a little bit in our time. We usually associate them with royalty. We see pictures of kings or queens with a mantle. Or we see other religious figures, leaders perhaps, that wear mantles. Now, I don't want you to confuse my clerical robe with a mantle. It's not. It's a robe. It has sleeves. Mantles do not have sleeves. But this mantle, in this particular story, symbolized the passing of the Spirit from Elijah to Elisha. And Elisha would then be carrying on this prophetic mission of hearing and sharing God's word to the people. See, the time of Elijah and Elisha was a rough time in the history of Israel. We've been talking about that a little bit. We've heard in our Old Testament readings for the last several weeks about this evil and weak king married to a pagan wife, Ahab and Jezebel. And we've heard how Elijah is constantly striving to set Ahab straight and reveal to him the error of his ways and the fact that he's introducing pagan idols and influences into the corporate worship of Israel. And of course, that is angering God very much. But Ahab and Jezebel have not listened. In fact, they've pursued and threatened Elijah at every turn. And this is what had prompted Elijah to experience this time of depression and despair in his own life. And it's what took him to Mount Horeb. Well, this week we find a much different Elijah, a man seemingly confident and assured, knowledgeable that his work is nearly complete, and that his time on earth is coming to a close. And Elisha, despite being told multiple times to stay behind, you notice I didn't say we have any themes of obedience on this week, just loyalty. He refuses to stay behind, and he stays with Elijah throughout the story. And then just as Elijah has foretold, he is taken up into heaven in the midst of a whirlwind, a flaming chariot with flaming horses, finally separating Elijah from his protege. Whenever I read this, the old spiritual comes to mind. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. You all heard that one before? It's an old African-American spiritual. Well, Led by the Spirit is the title of this message today. In ancient times, people looked to a prophet like Elijah or Elisha for guidance and inspiration from God. These people were recognized as being covered by the Spirit. And even though Elijah had seen God's power revealed many, many times, it doesn't appear that he found contentment in his ministry and in his life until he kind of hit rock bottom and he had that experience in God's presence on Mount Horeb. But following that, he was a renewed man. He learned to trust his life fully to God. Trusting in God's guidance, learning to release some of the anguish and worry that often burdens us. I think those are our messages today for us from this story. In our scripture reading from Galatians, Paul speaks to this, I think, when he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. By believing in Christ and trusting in God, we find release from our bondage to sin, and this is freedom. How many of you have ever had a time in your life when you perhaps confessed something you had been carrying around for a long time, or forgave someone that had been harboring bitterness in your heart for a long time? Did you ever feel like a weight come off your shoulders as a result of that? A lightness about your step as a result of that? I think that's the freedom that we find through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a physical way that we can feel when we're in God's will within our lives. And then, of course, Paul reminds us of our call then to use this freedom for good, not for evil. You know, I was sitting there yesterday working at the food stand, and I was thinking about what motivates people to volunteer their time and their effort. And there's been places that I've been in my life where people were motivated by guilt. In other words, they came out of a sense of duty or obligation, a sense of guilt that I need to do this because if I don't, then so-and-so is going to be disappointed in me, or the pastor is going to look at me meanly or something. Well, my prayer here is that I hope not a single person in this church ever volunteers for something out of a sense of guilt. It's because of these verses. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. That's our motivation. God's love. God's love. We should be motivated not out of a sense of guilt in our lives, but rather driven by the love that's in our hearts and a desire to share with others our gifts and our talents. I sometimes get a wonderful reminder of this love and the decency of human beings. So often I get discouraged reading the news each day or listening to the reports that come across the television or the radio. But I was sitting out there and people were donating, you know, they say, I'll keep the change for my hot dog, whatever was happening. And I was sitting there with Ann yesterday, and this gentleman walks up. He didn't buy anything. He just handed me some crumpled up bills, and he said, here, I want to make a donation to the church. We had a sign out there telling people that all that we raised through this ministry went back into the community to help those in need. Well, the man turned and walked away so quickly, I really didn't even get a good look at him. But I unrolled those crumpled bills, and it was two $100 bills. And I turned and I said to Ann, look at this. This man just gave me this. And Ann says, oh, I've got goosebumps. Any of you getting goosebumps now? I mean, that was just such a generous thing. And I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him before in my life. But I tell you, I sat there thinking, and it restored my faith in humanity a little bit yesterday. And the people coming through and greeting one another. I don't think the yard sale is about selling stuff we don't need and raising money. I think it's a social thing. And it gives us an opportunity to see and greet our neighbors. Yeah, they may not all be from Center Hall. That's okay. We talked to people from Milroy and from all over the area. And it was a wonderful, beautiful event. And I thank you for being a part of it. But you see, so often in order to find that release and that freedom we need, we have to let go of something. We have to relinquish control of something in our lives. And it's so very difficult. One of the things I often hear when I go out and visit our elderly, and I know some of you hear this too, is how difficult it is for people to give up some of the last vestiges of control that they have in their lives. It could be something like their own home or their apartment, where they're surrounded by the things of their lives that are familiar to them and that hold special meaning in their hearts. For some, it's the loss of a loved one, someone very near and dear to them, that they've shared their life with for 50, 60 years or even more. For some, it's the things that we all take for granted each day. Things like being able to feed ourselves and bathe ourselves and have the dignity of doing that in privacy. Whatever it may be, in many cases, they've had to relinquish these important parts of their lives. And you can imagine how extremely difficult that is. But you know, the same holds true in ministry. Just like in the days of the prophets of Elijah and Elisha, there always comes a day when the Lord decides that the time has come for one person, for one preacher, for one prophet, for one generation, for one cultural or racial group or nation to move along to the next stage in the journey. And in the case of the prophets, the day had come for Elijah to leave this earthly life. And for many of us, the day comes when we must make a choice to let go of the things that have allowed us to maintain control, that have allowed us to be in charge, that have allowed us perhaps to even experience privilege in our lives. And we have to let that go so that the next person, the next prophet, the next preacher, the next organization, the next generation or group, whether that's defined by culture or race or gender or anything else, takes up that mantle and leads us forward into the next stage of our journey. You see, the life of a prophet, the life of a minister, the life of a church member is for a limited time. Prophets die and new ones rise in every generation. And we don't get to control who takes charge next. That's God's work. Raising up people to serve as a prophet is God's work alone. And our role as God's children is to listen carefully, to understand and discern the voice that God is raising in the world today, and especially in our own community. See, our mantra here in the United Church of Christ is, God is still speaking. But my question, are we still listening? Are we still listening? Are we willing to hear what God might be saying when that message goes against our own notion of what Christianity looks like? You see, we come into this with all our own prejudice, everything that we've generated and grown up with, and it may not look like anything we imagine. But I hope that as faithful people, as professing Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we never become so close-minded that we refuse to open our ears and our hearts to hear what it is that God might be saying. Being led by the Spirit, that should be the one thing we try to put before everything else. Seeking God's leadership in our lives and in the lives of our community. And you know, one of my favorite parts of being a pastor is when people come to me and share, it can be some of the most mundane things, but they share with me stories of how God is working in their lives. It can be just about anything. Vicki Foltz shared a story with me just a few days ago about how she and Glenn had sensed God working in their lives. And it wasn't anything big. In fact, some people might write it off as just a real strange coincidence. But you see, it's important to be tuned in to the work of the Spirit in our lives so that we recognize it when it happens. Every interaction we have with another person is an opportunity to share your faith. And the way you do that, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you behave, those things speak volumes to our friends and acquaintances. And we need to listen for those sometimes subtle nudges and then act on those impulses. Because, you know, I think they reveal a glimpse of God quietly at work in our lives. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day and for each one here. I thank you for the goodness that is in people. Some of that goodness we saw demonstrated this weekend in the willingness of people to give of their time and their talents, of their resources just to serve others, to give so that others in our community might be relieved in their times of pain or difficulty. Help us never to lose sight of that, Lord, and help that to be what motivates us the overflowing of your love filling our hearts to serve those in need. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful community of Center Hall, for the people that are here, for the love we share with one another, in this church, between the churches, between the unchurched. We just thank you for all of them, Lord. Help us to be a beacon of light to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.